going to be looking tonight at why our world is shaking so much. And we're going to read Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 26. At that time, his voice shook the earth, and we said that that's talking about Mount Sinai. When he gave the Ten Commandments, the earth shook. But now he has promised, once more will I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. The present world that we're living in, you can watch any news channel you want to watch, and you're seeing nations and governments being shaken to the roots that used to be solid. Kings and rulers that were once untouchable are now falling from office and falling from favor. Shaking of the earth is not something that a student of the Bible should be surprised about, because God has done it before, and he's going to do it again. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, and now he makes the promise again in Hebrews 12, 26. At that time, his voice shook the earth, and now he has promised, once more will I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. When he uses the words heavens, he's talking about that part of creation where non-physical beings live. He's talking about the area where the angels and the redeemed and their spirits are today. That's going to be shaken too. Why does that have to be shaken? Any idea? What's wrong in heaven? Well, there is something wrong in heaven. Satan goes back and forth every day, accusing you and accusing me of sin. And every day, the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding. Satan has to get out of heaven. The wicked angels that are there have to get out of there. So he's going to shake not only the earth, but the heavens too. In Hebrews 12, 27, the words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. When you look at creation, you're looking at everything except one thing. What's the one thing that was never created? Our God was never created. He's always existed. Everything else is created, and everything else is going to be shaken. Verse 28 of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. The kingdom that we are going to come into is going to be an eternal kingdom, and that kingdom will never be shaken. Verse 29 says, our God is a consuming fire. The author of Hebrews wanted us to know what God is about to do again. He's quoting the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with his glory, says the Lord Almighty. Remember when they rebuilt the temple? The people, when they saw the size of it and what it was made of, they began to weep, because the first temple that had been destroyed, the one that was built afterwards, was much smaller, not nearly as beautiful. But Haggai said, don't be worried so much about the construction. In that temple is going to come the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who cannot be shaken. The desire of all nations was a Messiah, a Savior, who would come to save the world. He did walk in that house, but he's going to build another temple, and he's going to be in that one forever. And so we need to rejoice in this thing. The same book, Haggai, also added the following prophecy in preparation for the glorious temple in the heavenly kingdom. It's Haggai chapter 2, verse 20. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of a foreign kingdom. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. Today, the 30-year regime in Egypt was, well, it's been a few years ago, was overturned and fallen. In the Middle East, right now, we have Yemen, Iraq, Iran, Libya, Tunisia, and many others that are on the border of falling governments. You can look at Pakistan. Pakistan's government is very, very shaky. The extreme Muslims want to take that over and make Pakistan a much more religious, not Christian, but religious country. I want to just read you a few things out of this little article I found about what's going on in our own country. We feel pretty secure, but we should not. I want to just read you what's actually happening. The United States has lost a staggering 32% of its manufacturing jobs since the year 2000. Over 40,000 U.S. factories have closed during the same period of time. I worked at Saginaw Steering Gear Plant 2 for 20 years. Saginaw Steering Gear, Saginaw Central Foundry, they are level with the ground. There's no more factory there. Bay City, the Bay City Chevy, or not Chevy, Bay City Buick, is gone. It's amazing. Even high technology industries are leaving America. Manufacturing employment in the U.S. in computer industry was actually lower in 2010 than it was in 1975. Because all those jobs went overseas. In fact, our government paid to have those jobs go overseas and to Mexico, believe it or not. We did. In 1959, manufacturing represented 29% of all U.S. economic output. In 2008, it represented only 11.5%. As of the end of 2009, less than 12 million Americans worked in manufacturing. The last time that less than 12 million Americans were employed in manufacturing was 1941. And so we went backwards. Americans end up paying to support American workers one way or another. Either we can buy American products or we can pay for people that lost their jobs. China has accumulated a gigantic mountain of dollars from all the wealth we have sent them each month. And they have lent massive amounts of money back to us. Over the past few decades, the communist Chinese have accumulated approximately $2.5 trillion in foreign currency reserves, and the U.S. government now owes them close to $900 billion. Remember what the Lord told the nation of Israel? He said, if you'll obey my commands, you will lend to others, and you won't have to borrow at all. Our nation was a lending nation. We didn't borrow at all, very much at all, until the Second World War. And then after the Second World War, things went pretty well for about 10 or 15 more years, and then we started borrowing. We are in trouble financially, whether you know it or not. Our massive indebtedness and the deteriorating U.S. economic situation, China and Russia have renounced the U.S. dollar as their chief trading currency, opting instead to begin using their own currency. Right now, when nations buy oil, they always used to buy oil in U.S. dollars. They no longer do. The U.S. dollar is going under. Meanwhile, here at home, the Federal Reserve is now resorting to a quantitative easing. And that's a fancy term which simply means the Fed is printing money in an attempt to offset the mounting debt. As fewer countries are willing to loan money to the U.S., the money needs to stay afloat. Along with the $600 billion already committed toward this effort, the Fed announced that it will implement another $600 billion in quantitative easing. So what they're doing is simply printing money, and we don't know what's going on. There's war in many, many nations today. We are on the edge of a possible nuclear war, whether you know it or not. This world is going to be shaken. It's going to affect us. It's going to affect our children, our grandchildren, and if you're old enough, your great-grandchildren. The shaking is coming. Our world is going to be shaken once again. The world as we know it is going to be shaken and changed. Again, Hebrews 12:26. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. No government or person, no matter how powerful they may be, can stop this shaking that's coming. There's nobody that can stop it if God brings it. Only God can shake or not shake this world. The shaking of the world powers is not new to history. Daniel wrote about it way back in Daniel chapter 2. And I want to read you this because one of the proofs that the Bible truly is the Word of God is fulfilled prophecy. Daniel named four world kingdoms that were going to rule this earth in history. And it came to pass exactly as Daniel said it would. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the earth, the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. So Daniel's going to tell the king what's coming. Your majesty, you are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he's placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky. Wherever they live, he's made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. After you, so what he's telling Nebuchadnezzar is he's about to die. After you, another kingdom will arise inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom will come, one of bronze, will rule the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay, and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As for the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It'll crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. And so if you're going to be going through this shaking and you're going to live forever with God, you have to be part of his kingdom. The only way to get into his kingdom, as we mentioned, you must be born again. You have to leave the family of this world and Satan and be born into God's family through personal faith in Jesus Christ. So the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold on that statue that he saw in his dream. The Medo-Persian Empire, and by the way, Daniel did mention these kingdoms by name before they were ever in power except for Babylon. The Medo-Persian Empire was by Darius and Cyrus. That was the arms of silver. The next kingdom that was going to come was the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. He was the belly and the thighs of bronze. The Roman kingdom by the Caesars was the legs of iron. And the revived Roman Empire, that's still not on the scene quite yet, is going to be the legs or the feet of iron and clay. Then the kingdom of God is going to come, the kingdom of Christ that's going to destroy all those kingdoms and set up a brand new kingdom. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but itself will endure forever. That kingdom is going to be built upon the rock, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 21, verse 42, Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes." The religious leaders of Jesus' day rejected him. And it didn't bother him a bit because he already knew that was going to happen. In Matthew 21, verse 44, "Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." And so what we need to be is those people that don't fall on it or fall under it, but trust in the rock, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only foundation. We sang the song earlier. No other foundation, every other foundation, a man or woman, boy or girl, can build their life on is sand. It will not hold you. The only foundation is the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 33:6, and if you don't have this one memorized, I would advise you write it down and try your hardest to memorize it. He, talking about Jesus Christ, will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. The fear of the Lord is a reverential awe of God and what God has said. If you get the fear of the Lord in your heart, he'll reveal Jesus Christ to you. You can then trust him as your Savior. And when this world gets shaken, you won't get shaken out with it. You're going to be involved in it, but it's not going to take you away from that relationship with the Lord. So in Matthew 24, verse 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Why? Because in Hebrews 13:8, it tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let me ask you, I'm your pastor, Jerry Larkin. Am I going to stay the same yesterday, today, and forever? There's only one being that stays the same forever, and that's our God. Everything else is changing. Kings and rulers come and go, but Jesus remains the same. Friends and family may leave us or die on us, but Jesus Christ remains the same. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, God has given us a promise. "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Every kingdom on this earth, as we know it, every single kingdom, including the United States of America, is going in for a crash landing. It's not going to be pretty. But that does not mean that you won't go on, that you'll be in the new heaven and the new earth with the Lord. Extremely important if you have faith. In John 10:27, our Lord Jesus again, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." What that is saying very simply is this: if you join the kingdom of God through personal faith in Jesus Christ, when this whole world is shaken out, you're still going to be in the kingdom of God. You're going to be part of the family of God. If you're living for this world and you've never yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, When there's a shaking, you're going to be shaken out with it. And it's not going to be pretty. Because when this world comes to an end, unless your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are not going to heaven. You're going to go to the lake of fire with Satan and his angels. Hell or the lake of fire was not made for man. It was made for the devil. But if you're bound determined you're going to follow the devil, you're going to wind up where he is. You don't have to do that. Nobody has to go to the lake of fire. Jesus Christ has provided a way through his shed blood to pay for all your sins, and all you need to do is trust him. Beauty and looks are going to fade away. I don't care how beautiful or how strong a young man or a young woman were, in the end, that beauty and that strength is going to fade. I used to, as I mentioned before, I used to jump out of bed every morning, excited about a brand new day. This old body's getting a little older. I now groan and roll out of bed. It's just part of life. We're going to have to pass away here one of these days. World powers may conquer one another. Right now, Russia is in the Ukraine trying to conquer it. If they conquer that, they're going to go to Poland next, almost surely. Wars and rumors of wars are going to be with us. Jesus told us that. The world may persecute us as Christians, but in the end, because we have our faith in Jesus Christ, we are going to rule and reign in the new heaven and the new earth. Our lives and the things we possess on earth are going to come to an end. You are not going to own your house forever. You're not going to own your car forever. It's for a short time period, you'll have some things. How many are you going to leave? You're going to leave them all. You're not taking anything with you. In Hebrews 10:27 again, the words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. You are going to leave everything you've got on this earth. You are not taking it with you. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. So what you have today, you're not going to have forever. There's going to become a shaking, and it's going to take every possession, every person that you love, they're all going to be shaken and gone. We brought nothing in, we take nothing out. Shaking is going to happen to governments and individuals and all the different possessions that we have. Today, we all have shakings, even in our relationship with the Lord. One day, you're extremely strong in your relationship. The next day, something shakes you and you're wondering. It's the way all of us are. There are shakings in every church that I know of. Things get going pretty good and then something happens and everything shakes and runs around. There are shakings in our Christian lives, and many times it's been said, the purpose of God is not for your comfort on this earth. Part of the reason why people fall from their faith is they really believe God has saved me so that I can be happy now and happy for all eternity. Because why? Because it's all about me. That's not what the gospel is. Jesus said, if you're going to live a godly life, you're going to have trouble on this earth. Because this earth does not like the presentation of the gospel. God has promised us, no matter what he allows into our lives, he'll always work it for our good. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And so when God allows a shaking in your life, and he allows it in all of our lives, somebody in the family gets deathly ill. Somebody in the family gets a burr and you've got a divorce in the family. All those things, God says if we will love him, he'll work it for our good. He didn't say it was good. Shakings are never fun. But if you'll keep trusting him, he'll work it for your good. He'll make you the person he wants you to be. That explains why on this earth we have so many injustices and harassment of people that are trying to do the right thing. It explains why there's poverty in this world. It explains why there are problems and health problems. Why we have so much trouble every day on this earth. It's all part of God shaking things to make us more and more like Him. It's our relationship with God that will remain forever. Every other relationship you have today is going to change. It's not going to stay the same. In Hebrews 12:28, says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. In life, we always have choices. And one of the choices you're going to have to make in your life, what is the main priority of my life? Is it relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that most important to you? Or is just getting along and being happy in this life most important to you? Friends, you can't have it both ways. Jesus said, if you follow me, you have to die to yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Not always pleasant, but it's going to pay off in the end. Is your priority in this life the temporal things of this life? You want that new car, you want that big house, you want that pretty girlfriend or handsome guy? Or is your priority in this life living a life that's faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there is a difference. The temporal things of this world, the luxury of life, or is it heaven with God? Are you seeking primarily the approval of your mate, your friends? Or are you primarily seeking the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because again, you can't have it both ways. If you love the world, the Lord says the love of the Father is not in you. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he'll reward each person according to what they have done. Folks, I cannot tell you enough. You need to make some choices. Because this world, as we know it, is going to be shaken at least one more big time. We think what happened in Turkey is awful, and it is, 44,000 dead. But the Bible tells us that over a billion are going to die all at once, way over a billion. And so we have to get ready for this thing. In Jeremiah 6, verse 16, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you'll find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. God is telling the children of Israel, there is a right way to live. I've laid it out for you. If you'll seek the ancient path, all is going to be well. But if you don't seek God's way, it's not going to go well. It may go good in this life. You may have more stuff than anybody else has got. But so what? I'm 75. If I could have all the wealth of this whole world, how long could I keep it? Probably less than 20 years. Is it worth it? You see, I'm going to live forever in the new heaven and the new earth. Not because I'm a real fine fella. I'm going because God revealed to me that if I would trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I can know now that I have eternal life. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto those of you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Let me just ask you, do you know that tonight? Do you know that when this world is totally shaken and everything's destroyed, because everything that's created is going to be destroyed, Do you know that you're going on in the new heavens and the new earth? If you don't know, less than 5 minutes, I can show you from the Bible how you can know. Tonight's the night. In Matthew 24, verse 1, this is the last warning I want to give you tonight, because when I get to the end of this reading, it's going to say many people are going to lose their first love. They're going to lose their love for the Lord. Don't be one of them. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him to call his attention to its building. Do you see all these things, he asked? Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming in the end of this age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. For you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Here's the key. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. We are seeing a massive increase in wickedness today. We are seeing things in my lifetime that I never thought I would see. We're seeing our children being taught lie after lie after lie in the public schools today. They're being told they can be whatever they want to be. If you want to be a cat, you can be a cat. If you're a girl and you want to be a boy, that's fine. Everything's good. Homosexuality is just fine. They're being lied to in so many areas that many of them are going to lose their love for the Lord. Some never had it. But the warning is here, even among Christians, the love of many is going to grow cold. Because persecution is going to break out. If we're near the time that I think we are, being a Christian is going to be a very difficult thing. Right now, it's not bad. You're not getting a lot of persecution right now. But if we are getting close to the final shaking of this earth, Christians are going to be the most hated people on this earth. And if you are one, it's going to be very difficult to live and to stay faithful. What I want to encourage you is make up your mind ahead of time when this comes, because it is coming. I don't know if it's coming in my lifetime or not, but it's coming fast. We've had presidents on both sides of the aisle. Some of you remember George Bush Sr., and George Bush Sr. talked about the New World Order. Barack Obama, on the other hand, was a Democrat, and Barack Obama said, we must embrace the New World Order. You do know what the New World Order is, don't you? It's one world government. Do you know why our government's printing money and giving it out like it's candy today? Because they're literally buying people. They want to pay your rent. They don't want you to pay your rent anymore. They want to pay your rent. Why? Because if they pay your rent and they give you an income every year, they're in charge and you're not. We are right on the edge. I believe it with all my heart. Don't let your heart be taken away from the Lord, because that won't be shaken. Everything else will. We're going